Welcome to Transave's Financial Wellbeing Masterclass. In each episode of the podcast, we will discuss topics that are important to understand if you are serious about improving your finances. Every episode, we will talk to a different guest who specializes in the topics we discuss, hopefully boosting your financial resilience. Hello and welcome to the Financial Wellbeing Masterclass with me, Olivia Sharman, and I'm from the Sheffield-based credit union, Transave UK. In today's episode, I will be discussing the dangers of payday lenders with the Cooperative Credit Union's Chief Executive Officer, Matt Bland. Matt worked for ABCL for the best part of a decade and is extremely passionate about the credit union movement. He is an expert in regulation and legislation and is keen to share his knowledge from his extensive career in the UK and across the world. Welcome to the Financial Wellbeing Masterclass. Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for asking. How are you?
No problem. I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for agreeing to be my first ever guest.
Oh, you didn't tell me I was the first ever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. I am
honored. This is your moment.
Yeah, even more of a pleasure to be here.
Great. So today we are discussing the dangers of payday lenders. So let's just go to the basics. What is a payday loan?
I mean, I guess basically it's a loan that sees you through to payday, right? So it's short term. And it's only intended to bridge that gap. And the problem, of course, is that they're really expensive. Things have changed a bit in recent years, but, you know, in the heyday, Wonga, as it was charging 1,500%.
Yeah.
That was after the cap was introduced. Before the cap was introduced in 2014, it was 5,000%.
Oh, APR. My gosh. And their loans are often calculated daily, so your borrowing can become even more expensive than if you choose to pay it over a longer time period.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big problem often was that you borrow to see you through to the next payday, but then the company would take the repayment back as soon as you were paid. And so, you know, often you would find that, you know, the fact that you'd had that payment, what you borrowed plus the interest all in one go, meant that when it came to midway through that month, you were running short again. So you had to borrow again.
Yeah.
And this kind of rolling over, as it's called, you know, for most people became what happened when you had a payday loan. You know, it was all too often not just a one-off, it was a repeated thing.
So why do you think payday loans are so popular?
Well, you said it earlier in your intro there, didn't you? I think it's about the convenience and also, I suppose, the fact that, you know, there are people out there who've had difficulties in the past for whatever reason. They've not always paid up on time or maybe not even at all if they've had some kind of event in their lives that's prevented them from being able to. And so, you know, the banks and the mainstream lenders, credit card companies won't touch you. And if you're in that position, your options are really limited. I think it's those things, you know, it's the speed and convenience and also, you know, the fact that there are people who the mainstream lenders won't touch. I guess there's a cultural thing as well for me. You know, it's like this kind of you've got to have it now kind of culture. Mm-hmm. The marketing is very clever for these loans.
I was just going to say that their marketing tactics are amazing, really. They're at the top of every search engine. They're 1, 2, and 3. When you search any loan, they're there.
Yeah.
And if you're in a bit of a panic, looking quickly, you're in a bit of a wanting it now, then you're going to just click on the top choices. And people don't understand they've paid to be there. They've got the Google ads. They've paid for the words. And yeah, it's so easy just to click on them.
I think, you know, they're targeting people at a stage of life as well. You know, it tended to be younger people who had not a lot of experience with money. Maybe they're only just getting going in, you know, with a first job or whatever. So it's easy to make bad decisions.
I was going to say as well, maybe it could be a lack of knowledge of other products. So they don't really know what's out there. And it takes a bit of research to see what your other options are. So how do you think consumers tend to use payday loans?
I think it's in a number of ways. There's the classic example of, you know, someone who's just got an emergency, the car breaks down, they can't get to work, you know, they've not got the money, they've got no option but to go to the payday lender. That's certainly a lot of the cases that we come across. But I think there's other cases as well. You know, we had an interesting story from one of our members recently that we've captured in an interview. And she was really open and honest about her experience. She's someone who got into a lot of payday loan debt when she was younger. And we as a credit union helped her out of that. That's all in the past. And she's in a much better place financially. It wasn't an emergency, and it wasn't the boiler's broken and I've not got hot water. It was, I want a bit of money to go on a night out. You know, sometimes it is as simple as, you know, I want to go out with my friends, they're all going out, but I haven't got any cash, you know, I'm skint. Ah, payday loan, that's the answer to my problem. And I think that's, you know, what people need to think about, you know.
It's keeping up, isn't it, with a certain lifestyle. If you've even, say, in like in the pandemic times, if you've been made redundant or put on furlough and all your friends haven't and they're wanting to go out, you want to keep up with them, you want to keep up with your bills as well, you'd go there, wouldn't you? You'd go for it. And that's probably what your member had a bit of.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was funny because she says that, you know, I think I borrowed 20 quid for a night out. I mean, it's been a long time since a night out, but that's 20 quid. You know, and it costs a few quid more than that these days. It was that she wanted to do what her friends are doing and didn't think about the consequences. Unfortunately, you know, like saving up and having a really good budget is kind of not that cool, really. You know, you're not really, young people don't aspire to that, you know, for whatever reason, it's a mystery to me, you know.
What are they doing?
Yeah, yeah. Don't they all just sit at home budgeting all night? So, you know, I think that's part of the problem as well. You know, we're all kind of led to believe that, you know, having that kind of Instagram lifestyle is what it's all about. And there's not so much openness about the realities of how people are paying for some of that.
I have got some stats that 75% of people who take out a payday loan will take out more than one in a year. And the average is actually six.
We should point out that, you know, the regulator's done some good stuff. They've clamped down on the really bad guys. You know, Wonga's gone, Money Shop's gone, you know, and so it's not quite the same these days. I think what they tend to do is spread out the payments over a period of time, and that makes the interest rate, the APR, a bit smaller, looks a bit cheaper. But actually, some of the lenders who are doing it that way these days are almost worse. There's one that I always think of that's particularly horrible called Loans to Go. It might have changed now, but a while ago they had an example on their website of a loan that someone might borrow, a typical kind of representative example, 400 quid borrowed over 18 months, I think it was, 900% APR. So at the end of that loan, do you know how much you paid back, bearing in mind you borrowed 400 quid at the start?
No.
1600 quid.
Can you define an APR, Matt?
We shouldn't even try, really. I think it's quite simple at the end of the day. Listeners should just think, if you've got two loans that are exactly the same, you know, say for in that example, for instance, 400 quid and you're borrowing it over a year, let's say. So the term and the amount are the same. Then all you need to remember is the bigger the number, the more expensive the loan is. And that's it. I mean, it becomes a bit complicated when you're comparing different loans, different amounts over different terms, then it's not quite as simple as that. But if you've got two exactly the same loans, then the bigger the number, the more expensive it is. And then I guess the other thing that I'd mention as well for anyone who's considering using these kinds of loans is, don't just look at that APR. If you don't really understand it, fine, but under the regulations that these lenders have to comply with, they have to publish the amount that you'll pay in interest. So look at that detail. It'll tell you how much you're going to borrow, and it'll tell you how much interest you'll pay in pounds and pence. And then it's clear. It's clear to see, isn't it? You know, you want to spend as little as you can on interest whenever you're borrowing.
So to sum up, it's the yearly interest payable on the amount borrowed plus fees.
Yeah, I think that the technical term, annual percentage rate. So it's an annualized cost. That's why some of the old style payday lenders like Wonga, you know, their rates looked so ridiculous at 5,000%, because actually you only borrowed over maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really were intending to hold the money for a year. But if you did, and then if you get into a cycle of rollovers, then maybe you might. Then it really is eye-watering what you'll pay.
So this kind of brings us nicely onto our next question, which we have kind of talked about. So what are the disadvantages of payday loans, to name a few?
Mainly the cost, right?
Yeah.
I think the other things that they used to do, I think in fairness to the FCA, the regulator, they've clamped down a bit on in recent years,
is
you know, some really sharp practices when it came to collecting the money as well. So, you know, they had this thing called a continuous payment authority, which sounds a bit fancy, but basically it's the ability to deduct money from your bank card repeatedly. So when you pay online for something, you give your bank details on with your card, they'll just store that and then they can run a payment against that. When you sign the agreement, you're giving them authority to do that as many times as they liked. What they would do was, you know, they were quite clever in figuring out when it was that you were likely to be paid, or when it was you were likely to have money in your account. And it could be, you know, in the middle of the night when you're asleep, and, you know, start hitting your account repeatedly until they got the money out.
When you take out a payday loan, do you like sign for that to be allowed in with your bank?
Yeah, you're agreeing to that continuous payment authority. Now, in itself, the use of that way of taking payments isn't necessarily a problem. It's just, you know, I've got, for example, a newspaper subscription, online newspaper subscription, and that's what I do. Or Amazon, I think, is the same. You know, you've got Amazon Prime. So it's in itself, it's not necessarily an issue. You know, you'll know if you've got that kind of payment set up with anything that you use because it fails when your card expires, and then you have to reset your card because the number changes. But it's the way that they were doing it repeatedly and timing it so that they were at maximum chance of collecting the money. I mean, again, the regulators kind of clamped down on some of that now, and so it's a bit tougher, and they're not quite as bad as they used to be. And then those people who wriggle out of paying, we sometimes come across members like who, you know, they want the money going into one account and not another account because the money goes into that account, they know it's going to be swallowed up.
Yeah. But,
you know, so the people do that kind of thing. They get a new bank account, they go to that kind of extreme to not pay them back. So if you're in that position, then they'll pursue you legally, and they can be very heavy handed in that way as well. So like Wonga, again, I keep using that example, but they were the worst offender. They got into a load of trouble by sending letters from a fake law firm that didn't really exist to try and scare people into paying back.
So having a payday loan doesn't necessarily mean that your credit score is going to be worsened, does it? It can only kind of affect you, like we talked about, in the future. So if you were applying for a mortgage, if you had a payday loan, then mortgage providers would maybe just fail you straight away and not even consider giving you the money?
It's an interesting one, that. I mean, I think it depends ultimately on the mortgage lender that you might be using. There are definitely some that have a very low risk appetite. You know, they're not willing to chance it at all with a borrower. So they might see someone using any kind of payday loans as a risk factor that they're not willing to accept. You know, I don't think it would be right to say that if you have a payday loan, you'll never get a mortgage. I mean, that's not really true. But it is something you want to consider. And it might not just be the fact that you've had the payday loan. Maybe you take one, you pay it back, you never go back again. In reality, I don't think that's likely to have a major impact on your ability to get a mortgage. But if you get into a whole heap of debt and trouble and fail to repay as a result of getting on this sort of slippery slope, exactly, then maybe. And I think that's the risk you're taking if you start using this kind of credit, because it's so expensive. And even if you go into it thinking you know what you're doing, you might find you know, before you know it, that you're in over your head. And
I mean, 30% of payday loans end up being rolled over because people just can't keep up with the payments, and that could happen to anyone.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, it's interesting. There's these companies now called Wage Advance, and they're not a lot different in many ways. They're usually much cheaper, which is a big benefit.
Yeah.
But the same kind of idea, you know, if you're giving someone a chunk of their wages early, then, you know, that might help them now. But what happens next month? The way that credit traditionally has worked is, you know, you're spreading the costs.
Yeah.
So you borrow whatever it is for whatever reason, and then you repay it in installments over a period of time. And that's about, you know, you're spreading the cost into the future. But payday loans, traditionally, and as I say, it's changed a bit now, but traditionally, you know, they were saying, well, you can have the money now, but you have to pay it all back in one go next month. So,
yeah. You
know, it was never really likely to work for many people, because that's not how credit's supposed to work.
If people need to look at the options, what are the alternatives to payday loans?
Well, I mean, you know, we would say this, wouldn't we? But, you know, I think people should think about credit unions.
Because, I agree.
You know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the big one, I suppose, is what credit unions are all about. You know, credit unions were established, you know, to help people who have these kinds of challenges financially. You know, it's about trying to support people who the mainstream creditors, the banks and the building societies and the mainstream credit card companies and so on, aren't willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's kind of two ways that you can, as a lender, you can deal with this problem. You know, some people, for whatever reason, will struggle to repay you, and you can either not lend to people you think are going to have those problems. That's what the banks do.
Yeah.
Or you can charge really high rates of interest, which covers the cost of those that don't pay back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the payday lenders do.
Yeah.
And what the unions do instead is they're trying to occupy the middle ground, where they say, we'll lend to people that the banks won't lend to, but we'll try and keep our interest rates as low as we can. And they can do that because we're owned by our members, so we're not like trying to make as much profit as we can. So, you know, we can tolerate a bit more in terms of, you know, losing money for people who don't pay back. We're sort of like a small bank, so we can fund our lending with the savings of our other members. You know, so credit unions, they're there to help the members. They'll lend to you if you maybe had trouble in the past, and they'll do it as cheap as they can.
I think as well, like we and all credit unions listen to members. So if they were to phone us and they had a serious issue and they've been, like you said, declined from banks or credit cards, and they need the money, and we would listen to them and try and help them as much as we can. It's not just a straight no, it's more like a sympathetic approach.
Exactly. Because, you know, you're a member, you're an owner of that organisation.
Exactly, yeah.
There's something about trying to help members, even if we can't lend to someone. And sometimes it might be that it's not the right thing for someone. They've already got enough debt. They're already struggling to afford what they've got already.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the credit union will try and help, at least to say to that person, look, we think you can't afford to borrow anymore, rather than, you know, the payday lenders who will make it seem all really great. You know, you'll be on a beach, you know, sipping a cocktail before you know it, you know, and that's not the reality, unfortunately. And so the credit unions, you know, it's not the easiest job in the world, because you're sort of telling people's home truths sometimes, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I think with credit unions, if someone was in a situation where they are going into rollover, and they'll sit and chat to them and signpost them to companies that could help them, offer them some advice, and just say, like, this is what kind of, I think you might need some help. Overall, if you are considering a payday loan, just stop and rethink your options available. And obviously, if you're going to borrow from anyone, check their FCA registered. That's because then we go on to the whole loan shark issue, and that's an even bigger issue. I think a payday loan is not the answer if you are looking for money to pay back bills, rent, your mortgage. And if you are struggling to pay for those essentials, speak to a debt advisor, look on an app and just get your weekly budget done.
I think it's certainly the case that, you know, if you're struggling to pay those essential bills, don't borrow. Speak to the providers. If it's your mortgage or your rent or, you know, your gas and electric, whatever it might be, you should speak to those providers and explain your situation. Yeah. And more often than not, you know, it might feel really intimidating to even think about it, but, you know, more often than not, they'll help you. You know, because ultimately, it's not in their interest not to help you.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to pay the bill back in a way that suits everyone, or it's going to get worse and they're going to have to take steps like pursuing you in the courts that most providers don't want to do.
They don't want to do that. Yeah. People want to help you, really. I think people forget that people will actually want to help you and not want to take further steps. And it's for everyone's interest, really, to look out for you and try and sort what you need sorting.
Exactly. So don't bury your head in the sand, you know, and speak to your creditors. You know, that's the best thing to do.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge and your passion for the dangers of payday lenders.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Loved having you on the show and my first guest and the first podcast.
I hope to be invited back to the 1,000th episode.
When we'll do a reunion. Okay, thank you. We hope you have taken something from today's discussion that can help you become more financially resilient. If you have any questions at all about today's episode or financial well-being, please drop me an email at olivia.sharman@transaveuk.co.uk. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and recommend your friends to listen. Bye!